Welcome to Avocado Talks.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Avocado Talks. This is your host, Luigi Caldeira. And today I'm so excited because I have Ada Rodriguez here with me. She's the Managing Director and Chief Diversity and Inclusion Officer of Ascension Global Staffing and Executive Search. Ada, welcome.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very well, very well. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Did I get that right? Everything?
On point.
Amazing. Perfect. Amazing. It's so great to have you here because I think this topic of how to get your dream job is so on point. There's a lot going on in the world. What do you think?
Definitely a lot going on in the world. I think the pandemic, we have the pandemic to thank for that, obviously. The pandemic has changed the way we do business. The pandemic changed for a good time for the past year and a half to 2 years, the way employers hire, who they hire. It's affected the job market. There's been the great resignation. I'm sure you've heard of it, with folks falling out of the job market. And that kind of just catapulted a crazy time for hiring. Tremendous demand. I focus on legal, so lawyers and paralegals. And so tremendous demand for legal talent and very low supply. So it's been a very interesting time, definitely for the industry.
Yeah, you know, I'm a paralegal. And what is going on with the profession? I mean, I have seen this change. And it's not like you get a lot of like younger professionals who's looking or, you know, to be a paralegal. Do you know what's going on there?
Well, I'm sure that there's different factors, and you have to look at I always say that what happens in corporate, what happens on Wall Street affects you in the law firm, eventually affecting me, who's hired to hire folks like you, right? So the law firm is there to make money, right? And paralegals, for example, are profit centers. And law firms are constantly looking for ways to reduce costs, right? And increase profits per partner. So it's always a song and dance. So they're always looking at creative ways to best utilize folks. And you know, I could talk about so many things of how do you make yourself most marketable, right?
Right.
Because you don't want to stay obsolete, and that is a huge. I see it all the time where paralegals, for example, they're not staying up to date on the latest and greatest, right?
Right.
They're not getting into the technology aspect, which you're fantastic about. You know, if you're not staying with the times, you are going to become obsolete. That is a thing. Inclusively, personal injury paralegals, for example, they're not typically ones that have not necessarily have to do a lot with technology.
Right.
But the laws change with PI work. So you need to stay on top of the law, what's happening in the business world, you know, upcoming practice areas, right?
Right.
A hot trending practice area like technology or cybersecurity or cryptocurrency,
yep.
You know, the latest and greatest, right? So you really need to stay on top of what's happening in your world in order to stay relevant, honestly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can definitely relate to that. I mean, I do have this focus on e-discovery, which is so on point, you know, but I'm even wondering, I don't see a lot of younger people wanting to be a paralegal. You know what I mean? Like 20 yeah. years old, 22, 24, you know, there's not that much focus or even interest, I think, in the profession. And it makes me wonder, you know, is yeah. this going to be
I think
gone?
I think that's very interesting. When I was a professor at FIU and I taught in the paralegal studies program, and over the course, and I stopped teaching about, I don't know, 4 years ago or something. But even back then, we saw a decline in registrations. And I think in great part, we have a group of millennials, right?
Right.
Who are so entrepreneurial, and they see other avenues, right? For making careers or making a living. And I think that is definitely impacting, you know, the paralegal pool, right? Because you're not, you're right. You don't see so many.
Yeah.
New or young attorneys, young paralegals entering the space. And I think that's a valid point.
I think there needs to be innovation in the legal industry. You know, so I think law firms should be looking at ways to innovate, even, you know, the way that they attract new talent and retain. I mean, let's not even talk about retain, because that's a whole other issue that law firms have to deal with nowadays. You know, I am a millennial, so I kind of can relate to, you know, wanting to do different things, you know, and it's kind of tough when you're in an environment that doesn't quite embrace, you know, this other side of us, like millennials that want to adventure into different things and not necessarily be stuck like in a box, right? Now, how do you start? How do you start? Let's say everybody wants a dream job, right? But what do you recommend for people out there that, you know, are either new on the market, or they're looking for a change, you know?
Yeah. So I'd say that there's not one magic wand that's going to, you know, do it for you. It's a combination of different things that you have to do to get there. But first, having a strategy. What is it that you want to do? What is the big goal? What is the end goal? And I think once you start there, like, is your end goal eventually to become a partner at a firm, a general counsel at a company? What is your end goal? And then plan accordingly. You know, I, for example, we can use myself. I started in the industry when I was 17 because I thought I wanted to be a lawyer, right? I thought I wanted to practice. I was good. I didn't even know what I thought. I wanted to be a doctor before I wanted to be a lawyer. I said, I'll be a doctor because I loved kids. But then I realized I was terrible at math. I was terrible at science, but I was very good at reading. I was very good in English. So I was good. So I had to look at what I was good at and then apply those skill set to a career that I thought was going to benefit, right, from what I was good at. So that's how I started in legal. And you have to get your foot in the door, and you have to be willing to start at the bottom of the barrel, right? Doing whatever it takes. But the beautiful thing about legal, for example, is that you can move up so quickly. If you're good, if you're dedicated, if you stay with it,
right?
You know, your hard work will be recognized and you're quickly elevated. You know that, you've seen it. You know, people see your tenacity and finding good people with that grit. I love that word, grit, is hard. It, you know, is. Not everybody's got it. Not everybody's got that thing you've got, that thing that I've got, where we just want more, where it's never enough, where we just want to keep growing. And so that, knowing where you want to go. Second, leveraging your network,
mm-hmm.
Build a network, go to events, meet people, ask people to introduce you to people. Like, building your network is truly going to be the backbone of your career.
Right.
For me, it's been everything. My network has been everything to my success. So I strongly recommend, and you start early. And I don't care if you've never set, everybody has to start somewhere. There's always a first time,
yeah,
a first event, a first connection, a first, but you stay with it, and it grows, and it'll come back full force. Landing your dream job is also about who you are, right? It's your brand. It's who you are physically as well as who you are on paper, right? And all those things have to come together. Having a fantastic resume, obviously, because your resume, when you're looking for a job, you know, I recently interviewed someone and his resume, you know, during the interview, I saw that his resume was lacking a lot of the things he was saying.
Right.
So I was like, you know, there's a disconnect here. He's like, oh no, I leave the good stuff for the interview. Mm. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense, because your resume is the first thing that they're going to see.
Right.
They're not going to ask you for the dance until, you know, they've seen you here.
Absolutely.
On a piece of paper. And he's like, oh my God, you're right. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So having a really good formatted resume that is chock full of nuts with the details of where you've been and what you're doing, and people, smart employers want to see people that go above and beyond the office. Like, what are you involved in socially?
Right.
What are you involved in environmentally? What professional organizations might you be involved with? The smart employers want to see the whole person,
right?
Not just wonderful skills. So there's a lot. And ultimately, what's going to help you land your job is your personality.
Right.
Because all things being equal, if you and I have a similar skill set and we both have similar education and we're both competing for the job, you know, what's going to get you hired before me is going to be your personality, because right. people want to work with people they like.
Right.
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 People that smile, people that are nice, people that are, you know, team players, you know, a combination of all those things. So it definitely is a combination of all of those things in order to land your dream job.
Yeah, no, it's a process, right? And you definitely have to get started, like you said, you know, thinking about what you want to do, developing your network. I know that for me was a challenge in the beginning. I mean, you know, many people know I started in the legal field, actually cleaning offices, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I started cleaning offices with my mom when I came to the United States. I was 15 years old. And one day I came up to a managing partner and I asked her, you know, for an opportunity. I started as a file clerk. And from there, I moved up to receptionist and then to legal assistant and then to paralegal, you know, and the rest is history. So there's definitely...
What a great story. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. No, uh-huh. It's amazing. At the time when I started cleaning, I didn't even know English, you know, and I was, you know, embracing every opportunity that came to me, that was presented to me. At 20, 21 years old, I was attending trials. I was writing briefs, motions, you name it. It was so intense, you know. It was for a smaller firm, so I had, you know, exposure to so many other aspects of, you know, law, which was great. You know, but then as I started moving up, you know, I wanted to kind of focus more on the things that I really wanted to do. And even as we stand here today, I'm kind of looking forward to what's next for myself. You know, going to management, hopefully, is where I want to go. You know,
Yeah, you have a plan and you need to have a plan. Absolutely. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. So the whole thing with the resume, so, you know, there's this thing that it shouldn't be more than a page. I mean, what do you think about that? Because there's a whole dilemma there.
Yeah. So I think obviously it depends on how many years you've been around, right? And you know, one thing, there's a takeaway here. Is you need to stay put. A lot of people jump around from firm to firm every year, every 2 years. Chill for a minute, because that jumpiness reflects poorly. So then your resume is like 6 pages long when it really should just be 2, right? So you know, so it depends where you've been, right? But 2 pages should be enough.
Okay.
Two pages should be enough for you to put in. Obviously, listen, at the end of the day, the employer or your potential employer is literally giving a resume 7 seconds.
Right.
Okay. When we receive his resume, I better be seeing what I'm looking for on that resume. If not, it's go, 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 because we have hundreds, right?
Right.
Nowadays, there are a lot of companies, maybe even some of the big law firms that are using AI, right, to review resumes. And so if the key words, so here's a key or a trick or however you want to say it. If you're looking at a job description, okay, make sure that the words, what they're looking for in that job description are in your resume.
Right.
Because we as humans or the machines, the AI, that is what they're looking for. They're looking for those keywords. So make sure that those keywords are in there. And a lot of times we do so much on a day-to-day that we forget
right.
what should be on that resume, right? So your resume should be customized or crafted towards your audience. What position is that you're looking for, right? If you're going to go, I don't know, wait tables, well, make sure that those keywords are in there, that you are customizing or drafting or creating that resume that it's going to be aligned with what the restaurant wants out right. of the server, whatever it is, you need to customize it to your audience. And then, you know, content. People, it's great that, you know, as a paralegal, trial preparation, like you said, you know, earlier, litigation paralegals, for example, pretty much all do the same thing, right? But metrics, like we live in a world of metrics. everybody wants to know, how many trials have you gone to? You know, how much profit did you increase, you know, for the firm because you brought in e-discovery, right? Whatever it is, they want to know metrics. So I think that anybody who implements metrics into a resume is really going to be, is really going to stand out.
That's great. No taken, because I don't have metrics in mind. So I'm going to make sure that I, you know, do some updating this weekend.
Yeah,
you
know, definitely. The way of the world, everybody wants to know numbers.
You know, I always had this question because, you know, as I progressed, I have a lot of similar job duties within the positions that I've held. So am I supposed to be like copying and pasting the same thing on different jobs, or how can I make that a little bit more creative?
You know, being in the legal profession, we're spin doctors, right? We have to spin words. Words are our lifeline, right? Being in the legal industry. So you really do need to find the word. I don't like copy and paste. Copy and paste to me is boring, right? We don't want to do that. But we do want to find, you know, words, adjectives, like hot words that are going to describe what we do, probably because you're probably doing the same thing over and over again, but just you need to change it up, basically, is what I want to say, because nothing could be more, you know, boring than to see this. I mean, I've seen that multiple times on a resume where I was like, okay, but you really can't get away from it because you really are doing the same thing if you're wearing the same hat.
Right.
But, you know, finding creativity, it's key.
Yes, no, that's point taken too. I mean, definitely. I have done some work on my resume as far as that goes, you know, try to reword things or rephrase it, you know, and I think it's a great thing. The whole issue or debate of cover letter or no cover letter, what are you seeing with that?
No cover letter.
Right.
Even our clients, when, you know, we service law firms coast to coast, and even when we're uploading resumes to their online platform, which most law firms have now in order to keep track of applicants, there's no cover letter.
Right.
None. I don't even remember the last time I saw one, nor I don't remember the last time anybody requested one.
Exactly.
Right? Unless you are submitting it, because when you're looking for, if you don't have a job and you're looking for a job and you're leveraging your network, right? You're reaching out to people that you may not know, right? And you want to personalize it, then I would recommend a cover letter that's not going to be a copy and paste of your resume. Nobody wants to see that. But in your cover letter, you say why you want the job, why, what are you bringing to the table? Right. How are you going to make an impact? Why do you deserve that job? And make it concise and succinct, right? Make it like two paragraphs long, in and out, you know, and you're going to be sending it to Luigi directly, then I would recommend, yes, a cover letter. But everything is online now.
Yeah.
Everything is online. Everything is being submitted online. So I think the answer is depends. Depends who you're sending it to. Depends where you're applying.
Yeah, I don't even remember myself when was the last time I submitted my resume with a cover letter, you know, but there's always this debate. Some people believe that, you know, you should be submitting it. I personally don't. I think it doesn't add a lot of value. If anything, I'll just drop like a paragraph, like you're saying on like, you know, the email itself, and that should be sufficient. I did want to talk about this whole great resignation that's taking place. I know people personally who have decided to quit their jobs, even without, you know, some kind of, you know, other opportunity or offer. They just were done with, you know, the whole, I guess, structure or, you know, responsibilities. I think a lot of it has to do with COVID. You know, what are you seeing on your day-to-day that actually reflects this great resignation phase that we are, you know, going through in the workforce?
Yeah. So the great resignation has affected all industries, not just legal, certainly not just legal, but all businesses across the board. And in great part, it's because during the pandemic, people were sent home and people realized the value of being home and having that removal of the world was so quiet for such a long time and people took an appreciation, right, for not having the rat race. The rat race was over for so many months.
Right.
And people, you know, that was a new appreciation. And people were like, okay, I really like my life. I like this. I like not having to, you know, the commute, the 2-hour commute and the traffic and all that that comes with the rat race. And that was a big deal for a lot of people. So people were like, okay, I'm going to pivot. And now, you know, with the internet, there's so much that we can do, sell, and there's so many opportunities for different income streams.
Right.
Right. So many opportunities. People are like, I don't need this 9-to-5. I don't want this 9-to-5. I don't want, I you know, a lot of people just said, and end of the line. And, you know, and so many small businesses have grown out of it, right, because of that. I think that one thing that I see in our world that that is a result of that is that so many people do not want to return. They want to continue working, but not from the office. Right. Everybody wants to be remote,
right?
Right, 100% remote. And that is not really, you know, in our industry, it's a very conservative, old-fashioned type of industry where there you have to push lawyers or administration to, you know, to the edge for them to want to, you know, typically for them to want to make a change. And so, you know, having people work 100% remotely, like an entire law firm, the entire industry is not ready for that, right? So for the most part, I do have some clients that have gone fully remote post-pandemic, but for the most part, people are back at the office.
Yeah.
At least 3 times a day. I mean, 3 times a week. Forgive me.
Yeah.
So that's been tough because a lot of people, you'll talk to a candidate, fantastic candidate. Nope. I don't want, I'm going in an office and just not doing him. Okay. Well, I can't really help you.
Yeah. No, I mean,
that's tough.
It's happened, right? Legal is always behind on things like that, on adjusting to what society kind of is. I have this feeling that legal is, you know, it needs to improve in this scenario. And remote work is great. I mean, I love it. Even before the pandemic, I was always trying to push, hey, you know, give me some flexibility to work from home. I actually work better from home. You know, I don't have to commute. I can, you know, to be honest, I think I work harder just because I don't have as many interruptions as I'm in the office. A coworker will stop by my office and we'll have a chit chat for 10, 15 minutes, you know,
you don't
have that when you're at home. So I think, you know, firms really need to be studying this a little more, you know, the communication that workers want, you know, for themselves in order to retain talent.
Absolutely. 1,000%. In fact, for those companies or law firms, because inclusively I have corporate clients that were forcing folks back to the office and even for in-house opportunities, right? Which pre-pandemic, if I told you, Luigi, I have an in-house paralegal opportunity, no more billables, you are running, right? To this in-house opportunity, you couldn't get anybody to apply. Why? Because they were forcing everybody to be back at the office Monday through Friday, 9-to-5. Nobody wants that. So I told them, I said, listen, I love you, but you really need to change. That policy has got to go because that's the only way that you're going to get folks back in. And they had to. They decided, okay, let's listen to the people. And that is what an employer does. You have to listen to your people because you're only as good as your people.
Right.
You need your people. You're only as good as the team that surrounds you. And if you're not making that team happy, then you're going to struggle. And so I do have to give, you know, props to so many of our law firm clients that are listening. They have to listen because then they're also finding that a lot of people are leaving as a result of that.
Yeah.
So definitely give props to a lot of law firms that are inching towards innovative ways of keeping their people on board.
Yeah, it's so interesting. The other day, I think I received something from, you know, a new policy at the office saying that it's okay to wear jeans. Like simple things like that, you know?
Oh,
I mean, 3 years ago, you could only wear jeans on Fridays. Jeans. You know,
right,
that was
right.
It. And now it's
and it was connected to like a charity fundraiser, you know, give me $5 and you can wear jeans.
Exactly.
That's a big
we're
deal,
not absolutely. Talking about a long time ago. We're talking about the like pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, it's we're easy to please. I mean, we're human. Right. We're going to work. We should love our job and the people that we do it with. But if you're going to throw in a bagel Wednesday, I'm going to be happier. If you're going to be on, let me wear jeans on Friday, I'll be happier. It's the little things, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, bring your dog to work. You know, a lot of firms, you know, have that as well. You know, or whatever it is, you know, just listening.
Yes.
Listening to your people. What is it that they want? Obviously, you know, within reason.
Right. Yes. I think most of the times we're reasonable as employees. You know, we're not asking for a lot. We're asking for flexibility because everybody has a life. And, you know, that's totally fine. So I wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about women in the workforce and how that is looking. You know, we're always striving for equal pay and all of that. But I'm sure that there's a lot of ladies out there listening to us today who are also in the job market. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about that.
Yeah, well, I think that we've come a long way, but there's still a long way to go. So the world has gotten so good, in my opinion, or better, at least better, about listening, about being more inclusive,
right?
And welcoming, you know, diverse folks, and women included. So, you know, now you have law firms that actually are, you know, have policies in place that, for example, like maternity leaves, right? You have maternity leave for both men and women. You have, I visited my clients. And they have a pumping station, right, for women that are you know breastfeeding their children. Like those little things that allow a woman to be a woman, allow a woman to have a family, to be able to have the best of both worlds. And that's something that was pretty much not available to women not so long ago,
right?
If you wanted to grow in a law firm as a woman, you know, you had to compete with a man, and that meant 16-hour days, and it was very difficult to balance a family and to have it all. But I think that the world is changing. They're listening, and I truly do believe, absolutely, because I've been there, I've seen it, that you can have it all as a woman. It does take a village. You know, you cannot do it by yourself. As much as we try or would like to, it's impossible. But it does take a village. You need support. You need family support. You need, you know, support at work,
right,
in order to make those things happen. But I do certainly think that the world is seeing women in a different light and our potential and what we bring to the table. You know, women are fierce.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we should rule the world.
Yes.
Because we should.
Women already do. It's just taking time for people to realize that, you know,
yes.
There's so much power. And I'm glad that I'm seeing, you know, more women like you running your own show, you know. There's
very empowering.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's great to influence this new generation that's, you know, coming to understand that there's really no difference, you know, we're all equal.
Absolutely.
And that's great. That's amazing. Okay. Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about your business and how you can help, you know. So, you know, how can people get in touch with you? What's the process like?
Sure. So we are Ascension Global Staffing Executive Search. We are Hispanic, woman-owned and operated legal recruiting firm. And we service law firms, corporate legal departments from coast to coast. And so we service both the law firm, the business side, right? The law firms, corporate legal departments. And we service the candidate, which the lawyers, the paralegals, the legal assistants, what have you. Every position within the law firm, from the C-suites all the way to file clerks, whatever positions, and everything in between. Our website address is www.ascensionsearch.com. We're on Instagram, Ascension Search, and we're also on LinkedIn, Ascension Search. And so we have a group of recruiters who they each have a specialty. We have recruiters for non-attorney positions. We have recruiters for attorney positions. We have career coaches, certified career coaches that will help you it's a process. You know, your career is a journey. It's not a one-stop shop, right. And you're constantly evolving. Like your resume today is not going to look like your resume, you know, 5 years down the road. And so it is a journey. And so you should definitely have, you know, on speed dial, folks like us, right, that can give you market intel, that can help guide you through the resume drafting, because like I said, the resume is constantly evolving. You're constantly evolving, you know, tips on your personal branding, you know, preparing you for interviews, introducing you. I introduce people, even if they're not my clients, even if they haven't hired me, I am happy to make an introduction. If I know someone and you want to know them, I'm happy to make an introduction. You know, we have connections. We've, you know, I've been in the industry over 20 years. So I know people and I'm you know, happy to share, right? Share my network, share the knowledge, share whatever it is, because that's what we're here for, to help each other out and to help each other ascend, elevate, right? Into bigger, greater, more wonderful things. And so that's what we're all about. You know, we're all about elevating people and helping them land, you know, the greatest job. We try to get to know our clients, our law firms, mm-hmm. and or corporations, because I think that knowing culture is very important.
Yes.
People want to know, well, what kind of culture it is, you know, what are their working hours? You know, so it's our job to know right. our people so that we can help you determine whether it's a good place for you or not. You know, so just knowing folks like us. And you don't just have to know one recruiter. You can know 5, 10, whatever it is. Something that I failed to mention, but something that I'd like everybody to do more of, is find yourself a mentor. Okay. Somebody that you admire, somebody who you'd like to learn more from. People, I've noticed that people are very giving. You know, I was several years ago, I was working with an attorney, and not even, he was more of a client. Mm-hmm. But I admired him. He was very big in the e-discovery space, and I love all things e-discovery. And I went up to him. I was like, listen, I need a mentor. I want to learn more. I want to do more in that space. You know, will you be my mentor? If I have a question, whatever it is, I want to pick your brain, take him to lunch. And he was so happy.
Right.
He was happy to do it. So I tell folks all the time, find yourself a mentor, somebody that you can just pick their brains, you know, have over a cup of coffee, right? And you'd be surprised how willing people are to share and to help, right? So that's something that definitely, that's a big takeaway. It's something I really want people to start doing more of.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And as we go into this remote work space, I think this personal connection is so valuable, you know, knowing someone that you can count on to connect, to learn from, to discuss. I mean, priceless, absolutely. Priceless.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Agreed.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. This was great. I really appreciate
thank
it. You. I'm sure that all of our Avocado listeners are going to enjoy this conversation. So guys, please go ahead and follow Ada, you know, on yes, all of the platforms that she mentioned. And don't forget to subscribe to Avocado Talks. Every Tuesday, we're here delivering some different talk to all of you. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, Luigi. Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. Bye.